What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast. I am one of your hosts, Nathan Choquette, aka your best friend, you know, just sitting over here accepting best friend requests, just normal life.
Accepting best friend requests.
Is that a thing people do? Maybe. It's been a long time since I've thought about that.
Sure it is at some point.
The other voice you hear over here is Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Making new best friends every day, apparently.
There you go. You know? That's a lot of best friends.
So many best friends. If you guys have any openings for best friends, email us at brosandconsoles@gmail.com and we'll be your best friends.
I don't know if I need any more best friends.
Oh, man. How's this week been going for you, Michael?
It's been good. I do want to do a short little thing right now, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of relates to video games in a way. I'll bring it around. But it also means a lot to me, too. Earlier this week, it was announced or released that the creator of Berserk, mm-hmm. Kentaro Miura, passed away. Uh-huh. And personal thing, I'm a huge fan of Berserk. One of my favorite mangas. Dark fantasy. Actually, probably one of the most famous mangas. One of the most famous. Mm-hmm. Important. But he passed away. I don't think people realize how important his work was, not just to manga, but into video games too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Imram posted a thing on Twitter I want to mention real quick. Even if you never read Berserk, you have almost certainly watched, read, or played something heavily influenced by it. I don't think there'd be a Soul series without it, and I don't think there'd be a Devil May Cry 3 to 5 without it.
Oh, that's how important I thought about that one too.
His work was to video games and just art in general.
Dang.
So if you get a chance, please read Berserk at some point. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And condolences to his family and stuff.
Yeah, definitely there. Backtracking a little bit, I'm very surprised that that's one of your favorites, because you like slice of life kind of stuff. That's like heavy action and dark fantasy kind of things.
It's something about, like, there are exceptions with action and thing and fantasy, like that I really like.
One Piece.
I do like One Piece.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's one of my favorites.
That's a joke.
But it is true. You got me into One Piece. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But something about Berserk, it's not one of those ones where I can just constantly read.
Mm.
But it's one of those, like, oh, man, I have to be in the mood, but it's so good when I'm in the mood for it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's like Nier, almost.
Mm.
Like, I love it when I'm in the mood and I'm ready to experience it all, but doses.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Berserk finished, right? It is like a finished series? No?
No.
Then what are
you doing? He's been writing it since, I think, 1980-something.
Wow, that's crazy. Jeez. Yeah. So then what are they going to do with the series and stuff? Someone else take over type of thing?
No idea. Mm. They haven't said. He's been on hiatus since the most recent chapter, I think, a year ago. But he's been known. He's like the Hunter.
Yeah, like the guy writer of there. He's, gotcha, okay. For, like, health reasons, mm-hmm. and things, I assume.
And I don't know if he had a plan already in place to end it, but it was at a pretty big point in the manga that he stopped, but who knows?
Dang. Okay. That's rough.
I think you'd really enjoy it, though.
Yeah, no, I've been, even by some friends in optometry school and stuff, they recommended Berserk, and I was like, okay, yeah, this sounds like something I'd probably be interested in, mm-hmm. and stuff. I just never, at the time, had the time to, like, go and, like, into it. And then I think, not shortly after, but I don't know, a while after, like, My Hero Academia was the one that, mm-hmm. you know, caught my interest then. And I was just like, all right, I'm all in on this My Hero stuff. Yeah, dude, superheroes. Come on, man. I watched, not this last week, I think maybe a couple weeks ago, I watched the first episode of Invincible on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, the Robert Kirkman.
Yeah, I was hesitant to go and, like, watch it at first, because I was like, the way that I think I saw some kind of not a preview for the show itself, but, like, a preview of a bunch of people reacting to the show,
mm-hmm.
or, like, the first, like, episode or something like that, and, like, their reactions, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to, like, watch this, because they made it sound like it was real gross.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not, like, super into the real gross kind of stuff. But I watched the first episode, and while there was some pretty, like wow, that was way more gory than it probably needed to be, it, like, felt like it was appropriate for the world and stuff and the context. Yeah, so then I was like, okay, like, I get it. I still haven't watched another episode yet.
I will warn you, it gets
worse.
Treads that line real hard.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm not into like the whole like, I don't know, more gore is better type of thing. I'm kind of just like, yeah, you know, I could do with less of that. Even Game of Thrones, I wasn't super a fan of because of the amount of like gore and stuff like that. And also just like, you know, wanton like naked bodies and stuff. Like no reason for all that in a show. It doesn't push the plot along or anything. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like the superhero stuff, I'm very interested in that kind of like universe. But yeah, I want to know like more about what's going on, but I also don't want to watch because I'm just like, I think it's going to get more gory.
I do see because I've read some of the comics.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I do say, I feel like Invincible and Berserk, I'm sure there's other examples, do tie in the gore and grotesque stuff into their plot. Like it's not just there to like, oh,
it's not there for shock value. Factor.
It's important to context to the show and what's going on. Okay. I think they do that pretty well.
Yeah. Cause I mean, in terms of, like the idea of, you know, superpowered people, like actually like hitting other people and stuff. It's exploding. If you explode, I get it. Like it makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just like, oof, actually seeing it happen is very like, you know, I mean, probably just cause we've grown up with, you know, things like DC and like Marvel and stuff, which is very much, especially in like cartoon form, like it's very much so just like, hey, Superman goes and hits a guy, like, you know, he flies across the room and hits a wall maybe, but like nothing happens.
No bruises,
right?
No blood.
He's unconscious, fine. Right?
Yeah.
that's all that happens here. Batman, he goes and throws batarangs at people. Those things are real sharp.
He doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah, they can cut like ropes and stuff, but if it hits their head, like, nah, it just knocks them out. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
So that kind of thing, I'm just like, oh yeah, of course. You know, don't worry about it. It just, was a cyborg hits you with a sonic beam cannon over here, you're not going to get like a hole in your body.
No, it's just like a scratch.
Yeah, it just kind of knocks you across the room. It's like brute force, you know?
Exactly.
But no, of course, for these actual type of things, I'm like, yeah, that's
too reality.
Pretty realistic, I think. And I'm just like, ooh, a little too much there.
Yeah, there's
there. Maybe we shouldn't have superpowers as real things, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God, that would be,
Be terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
If you think of the actual, like, real, like, implications of it, it sounds terrifying.
They wouldn't show anything on the news.
Oh, yeah, no. It'd be it'd be like R-rated news all the time. Jeez. Oh, man. All right. What is this? What's this show about? This is a show about video games, everybody. And we're going to go ahead and start up everything with a little bit of updates, I guess. I haven't really done updates in a while. But this is episode 70-something. Man, this is just off the rails today. I don't even know. Usually I come prepared with this, and I'm just like, I forget what episode it is.
I like it that we're consistent. Like, oh, what episode is it? Oh, it's 70-something. It's 80-something.
Yeah, you know, it's 70-something. I think 76. Yeah, it's 76. There we go. So episode 76. This is May 22nd. Beautiful Saturday. Earlier it was cloudy. Now it's a little bit more sunny.
Still we have 58, though, so perfect.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, it feels pretty nice. If you guys hear any noises in the background, we do have a couple windows open, so bear with the noise pollution, if that's the right word for that. But yeah, let's get to video game updates. We have just a couple. Yeah, I guess I'll say a couple things. So one of them, we got announced this past week that there's a next gen version of Saints Row the Third remastered coming nice. May 25th. So, oh man, Biomutant, watch out! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that'll be coming to PS5 and Xbox Series consoles then. Other than that, I don't think I have any more next gen version things. But we did have a update for The Last of Us Part Two. Got a performance patch for PS5. So apparently, I think now it's supposed to look even prettier. Game already, I think, looked insane.
Yeah,
from like trailers I saw.
I think I just assumed it already had those already.
Yeah. I think at this point, like, you know, even playing it on PS4, I don't think there would be too much that you could maybe improve performance wise. One thing I did hear when people were mentioning that earlier in the week was that apparently the load times in The Last of Us Part Two are pretty awful.
Really?
Like minute and a half. Of like load times, and I was just
Witcher load times.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. This is like, it actually is like straight up like Cozy Grove load times.
Wow.
And I'm just like, ooh, rough. And I think they said that the updated patches and stuff that I think maybe came out with the performance patch and stuff for PS5, I think it brought things down, or no, maybe it was the most recent patch before that, brought it down to like 45-ish seconds, which is, you know, getting better.
Bad, yeah.
Still pretty huge.
Okay, give them like 2 or 3 years, they'll remake Last of Us 2.
No, no more remakes. No more remakes, guys. This isn't the PS3 to PS4 generation. Don't do this to us. But yeah, I think that's what I got.
I do have one update.
There. Oh yeah, yeah.
Update. And it's not a performance update. It's a sad update.
Oh yeah.
The marketing person of Team Cherry.
Oh yeah, I was actually going to bring that in later for just a regular. But yeah, let's throw in the updates. I wasn't sure where to put it.
Right, it felt right here since it's an update of some kind.
Makes sense. Yeah. So Team Cherry gets what three guys working on that there. Yeah. Hollow Knight Silksong. Will not be showing up at E3. Pour out a sad drink at home for Michael if you're listening to this.
There's
right now.
There's still slight, very small hope that it'll appear, because Jeff Keighley said there is games that he's going to show in his Summer Game Fest that people have been waiting for.
Oh, I see what you mean. So like not at E3, not at E3, but the other
that. Thing. Oh, okay. Very, very small.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm holding on to that thread of hope.
Yeah,
he's going to stay there.
You're like holding on to this thread in like a stormy weather.
Screaming, Jeff Keighley, please.
Hanging off the side of a Titanic or something. Oh, jeez. Yeah, I know, man. It's a bummer.
I appreciate them letting people know and saying, don't get your hopes up. This is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Nothing's coming.
Now, granted, I'm not in the Discord conversation on these things and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think one of the news stories, because I was trying to pull up something just to show, like, if there's any, just to see if there's any more information on that whole, like, announcement and whatnot. I think one or two of the places I looked at had just kind of like a side, like, comment thing in there that I think some of the fans, you know, obviously some people are going to be like upset or disappointed that it's not showing up. But not like the, you know, not talking about the ones who are maybe like too upset and like making like mean comments and things.
Right.
But like ones who were like, hey guys, like, you know, we got the announcement. I want to say it was either like 2 or 3 years ago.
2019.
As like a teaser. And then no word. Pretty much in their words, right? Like no word, like since then about anything. Like, you know, and they were asking, like, is it a good marketing strategy, or are we like missing something, like bigger picture here and everything? And I thought we could talk about that part, because I think, yeah, they're in terms of, you know, trying to like market things and build up. It's like, you know, it's one thing if, you know, if you have like small updates here and there kind of thing, and it, obviously the small studios. Probably more like difficult to kind of provide like updates over time and stuff. But what do you think about kind of, you know, either drip feeding things out slowly, not in terms of maybe like new trailers and stuff, but like announcements like, hey, like we're over here. Now we're like 50% on the way and blah, 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 that kind of thing.
To be fair, Team Cherry, they have announced things. They did the 2009 release trailer of 2019. Release trailer, announcement trailer of Silksong showed a good amount of stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that was the first thing.
That was the first thing. They already knew that there was going to be a Silksong, but they thought it was going to be a DLC. This trailer showed that it's going to be a full new game.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was the initial teaser that they talked about, right?
And Nintendo did a bad by saying it's coming soon. Turns out, the marketing
is it Nintendo that put that
it
in
is
there?
Nintendo because
oh weird okay
they. A YouTuber I watched interviewed Griffith, the marketing guy who posted the E3 stuff. He said, yeah, that was all Nintendo's doing. We told them we didn't have a release date. They went ahead and just said coming soon.
Interesting. Okay. Us. Wow, Nintendo. Yeah. Doing people dirty over here.
Doing people dirty. And then over the years, they've on their site, they posted blogs about their progress. This is a new character. This is a new area we're doing. Mm-hmm. This is what we're working on now. And then 2020 Christmas time, they said, oh, we're gonna take a break, all that stuff, and then the pandemic hit and they released a little bit in 2000 up till about fall, and then they did the Vice magazine for Silksong that came out thing and had a whole bunch of stuff, no release date, but a bunch of character stuff and map stuff and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Like picture screenshots,
yeah, screenshots and oh, nice. Interview okay. with the creators, Team Cherry. But I think I fall on the side of I would rather getting minimal stuff,
mm-hmm.
like how Team Cherry has done it, maybe slightly more, rather than getting a bunch of stuff like, what's an example, like Deathloop has done, or yeah, or yeah. maybe not to that extreme, but
yeah, poor Deathloop.
Yeah, poor Deathloop. Or like other games where you get a trailer every couple months, or you get a teaser or something like that. I think I'd rather get drip fed information on a game than get thrown stuff constantly, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. And I think yeah, because like those two options are like, I would say, like valid like ways to go through and do these things, or at least ways that we've seen it done.
Mm-hmm.
I think another way that I, you know, prefer, and it's basically there's only like one example that I can think of that has really like done this kind of thing. Actually, maybe two. I guess the other one's not really talked about too much, maybe, and I might be thinking of little things a little bit differently. Obviously, I think people knew that like Fallout 4 was being worked on and stuff, had no like information about it at all. And then, you know, initial like trailer dropped, which was essentially their like, you know, announcement / like tease kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was at E3 of whatever year that was. Man, what year was Fallout 4?
2017?
Something like years. That? Yeah, it was, you know. And then it came out that same year, like, you know.
12 months later.
5 months later, is that right? Was it? Yeah, because if E3 happened,
it came out in the fall.
June. Yeah, and then it came out in November kind of thing, right? So, the very short window in terms of, like, waiting period for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it worked pretty well for that one. And then I think the other one that I think people knew about but didn't know knew you know it was going to be happening but didn't really know much else about it, I think, was probably Resident Evil 7.
Oh yeah.
When that was first, I think, was it one of Sony's State of Plays or PlayStation Experience or something that they announced that at? Or no, it was E3. It was E3 2016. So they announced it in there in Sony's conference, and then that was the first time I think people saw, like, you know, trailer stuff of it, because they didn't know it was first person, and it was, you know, talked about as like, oh, like before the kitchen demo and all that stuff. And yeah, and then they gave the date for January of next year, and so that one, you know, short window there also. But I think I like the, you know, I like just not knowing about something all until you're like ready and be like, hey guys, like, here's a trailer, be excited, you know, 4 or 5 months from now, here it is kind of thing.
No, I would agree. I would hope more. And to be fair, I'm sure, I don't want to say only, but the bigger companies have more means and ability to do things like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That is a good approach.
Yeah, I think in terms of, like, you know, bigger companies, you can take on bigger projects like that. I think, like, you know, it's different for maybe teams that are, how would I say this? Like teams that are coming out with like their first ever title, like maybe they're in like an unproven commodity and stuff, and so they're, you know, they're getting things ready and whatnot. And then for, like, you know, to come out with a game that no one's ever heard about before and stuff, you have to, I think, give people more to go on so they know whether or not they want to like play this game and what they can be excited about inside there.
Right.
So that one I think makes sense to kind of do the drip feed over a period of time, and then, you know, that gives you extra time to work on things, maybe change things up as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But with something like, you know, Hollow Knight for the example that we're talking about, since Hollow Knight, you know, original OG and whatnot did so well, and people, you know, understand what Silk Song is going to be like, it's not like it's going to vastly change things up that we're like aware of. Them just kind of like staying silent and not even doing the whole like trailer thing for like Nintendo, which I didn't even, yeah, now I keep thinking about like, man, Nintendo, you screwed them over kind of thing.
Big time. Big thing.
Yeah, for real. Jeez. But yeah, if they had just never, you know, even given like a tease trailer for anything, you know, up till like now kind of thing, we would probably assume that there's something that they're working on,
mm-hmm.
and assume that it's maybe now its own game, because we haven't heard about anything for like years since Hollow Knight came out. But then, yeah, then getting a trailer like when you're basically ready kind of thing, I think would serve this game better, just because you could then, you know, people know going from this game to this game, like, hey, like, it's great over here in the OG side, it's gonna be probably great for the new stuff as long as we're seeing this trailer and it's like basically kind of complete kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
I I agree. I think if Nintendo didn't put that coming soon there, it would be a different... people would be excited for it, but they wouldn't be like, oh, it's coming. It should be coming now, 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 kind of thing.
Yeah, dude. Coming... I've always assumed, and that's my bad, I've always assumed that, like, when we see things in the trailers there, it's, you know, it is not the people organizing things that are putting that in there. It's, like, the studios themselves. Like, another example, I think... there's a game, wow, I haven't thought about the title of the game for a while. I believe the developer's name is Moonana or Moonana, something like that.
Okay.
It's like, it's M-O-O-N-A-N-A. So I either think of it as Moonana or Moonana. It's one of the two.
One of the two.
but she was working on a game called Virgo versus the Zodiac, and that was shown.
Sounds familiar.
It was shown in one of, I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one, one of the Kinda Funny Games showcases, those ones. I want to say it was maybe the first one that they did. And, you know, had a trailer for that inside there, and I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, this looks really cool. And in there, I think it mentioned, like, hey, you know, like, coming to, what is it? I think coming to, like, PC and Xbox. And I think it was, you know, messaging wise in the showcase, it was in the middle of an area where they were, you know, previously had said, I think, you know, Greg and everybody that were doing the announcements and whatnot or speaking in between bits and pieces of trailers, you know, they said like all these things coming up will be coming out like today kind of thing, right?
Right.
And then, you know, that trailer was in there. I was like, that looks awesome. I went to the Xbox store, nothing. I went to the Steam store, it's not even available for purchase. And I was like, what's happening?
Oh, no.
And then, like, I think, like, later on, it came to Steam. I don't have the exact dates in my memory anymore, but, yeah, it came to Steam eventually, but still no Xbox, like, version. And it's been, you know, a few years at this point now. Granted, you know, I think she's one person working on this game on her own kind of thing. And I think recently I had tweeted her asking and being like, hey, like, you know, long while ago it was announced that you guys had an Xbox version coming. And on their Kickstarter page, I think that they had set up also for everything. It mentioned on there that at a certain goal it would be brought over to Xbox as well. And I think because, you know, she is working on all these, what do they call them, milestones that they hit in the backing thermometer, whatever you want to call it.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. The goals that they were kind of trying to meet and stuff with different fundraising amounts. I think she was basically, like, for some of these, they're, like, handcrafted pins and things like that and, like, little accessories and whatnot with characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been having to make all these on her own, and that has, like, you know, pushed back a lot of other things. And I'm just like, dude, that sucks. Like, the messaging that can happen in, like, showcases and stuff makes things difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And I never really think about it being, like, oh, you know. They're just, like, straight up, like, lying to us kind of thing, you know?
It's funny because I was watching his interview with one of the YouTubers, Relia, who's a Hollow Knight streamer or player on YouTube.
Yeah.
He asked him, I'm not going to get the wording right correctly, but he asked him, like, oh, so on the trailer it said it's coming soon, and left, which he goes by in Discord. He's like, whoa, okay, I want to address, we did not tell Nintendo it's coming soon. They put that there. That was not us. Not, he didn't say that word for word, but he basically said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, dang, that sucks.
That does suck, man. Nintendo, what else are you lying to us about over here? Just Mario throwing is out not words. A real game. Oh my gosh. The trailer we saw was something from 3 years ago.
Oh god.
They're reworking the whole thing. Man, could you imagine? Could you imagine if that was the case?
I don't want to imagine.
yeah, now, I mean, obviously, like, whenever something says coming soon, I'm always just like, okay, like,
that can mean
a few years, maybe, kind of thing. Like, we have no idea when this is coming out, actually. Like, Tunic has been coming soon for Xbox for, like, years.
Fox.
And I think, Little Fox, dude. What's the name of their studio? It's got, like, a cool, like, ferret kind of thing. I forget what it's called. But, yeah, so, like, Tunic's been like that.
Dying Light?
Dying Light 2, yeah, has been now. I mean, we at least heard that one is now, like, indefinitely, like, in limbo. And then what was the other? Below for, like, years and years was, you know, in trailers and stuff. And then eventually came out. But it's like, you know, each time it showed up, I was like, oh, man, like, it'll be, like, here, like, soon, right? And I think it was always, there was no date or it was coming soon type of thing. I'm just like, what is happening?
You're 75 years old. Oh, it's coming soon. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, okay, another example, and this will be the last one I can think of. There was a game shown, I think, at one of the original PS4 like showcase kind of events or whatnot, like one of the ones before I think the console came out.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they were talking about like a bunch of indie things, right? There was a game that was shown there that, you know, at the time looked like cute and stuff, right? It was called Raise the Dead. And Raise, as it's, you know, a play on words, because it's a game about zombies kind of thing.
Right, right.
Raise spelled, though, R-A-Y apostrophe S, because your character's name is Raise, I think. And, you know, the idea of the game is, like, you know, you're this zombie dude, you raise other zombies, and you're kind of trying to, like, go through these levels and stuff. That game, you know, popped up inside that like showcase thing and then just went dark for years. And I think if I remember right, came out last year.
Oh, wow.
Which was, yeah, I think it was last year, because it was before the PS5 actually came out, but came out like basically at the end of the PS4's like life cycle kind of thing, in terms of right before a new gen is launched. And I was just like, what the heck is up with this?
Where did this game go?
Yeah, dude, it just fell into, like Oblivion. A tree well or something. You know what I'm saying? No one ever found it.
Dang, man.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, these kinds of things are pretty crazy. When we do get updates, you know, it's nice to know that there's like solid plans going on. Yes. But yeah, I always think it's interesting, like, you know, the way that studios decide to kind of like divvy things up.
Release
like info and whatnot. But yeah, so I think that is the last of the updates that we have, and then we'll go into basically kind of our one and a half news stories for later on. But what you been playing, Michael?
Two games.
Oh,
both on the Switch.
Because
I turned to my PS4 this week and I'm like, I could play these games. Only Yakuza 5 is grabbing my attention right now. And then I went on the Switch store, saw the games. I'm like, Oh, there's two games I could buy here.
Uh-huh.
One, you would appreciate, because you played, Super KO Crush.
Oh, Crush, yeah. KO, Super Crush KO or something. Yeah, it's been a long time. How do you like it?
I love... Mm-hmm. I'm only, I think, five or six levels in.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Love the art style.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good. And gameplay is deeper than I thought it'd be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. It's one of those games where I could just jump in. I tend to like those games like after work, where I can just jump into a game. Don't really have to pay attention too much.
Yeah.
I can just go and just mash buttons and
you're not having to remember like stories and exactly. things and characters. Yeah.
But it's great. Super good art. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other game that I want to mention.
Vertex Pop, is that their name? Something like that.
Oh, the creators or the developers? Maybe.
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Second game was 50% off, and I've been wanting to get this game for a while. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Because I played the original Ori and the Blind Forest way back on the Xbox. Fantastic game. Emotional, cried, loved it. And I'm only about 2 to 3 hours into this one.
Okay.
But it's so good. It's pulling on my heartstrings already from the first couple minutes. I'm like, dang. I need tissues for this.
Oh, dang.
Okay. But they've added new combat features and stuff. It's super, super, what's the word? Responsive to me. I love the platforming, the art, the colors, the world, characters. I'm going to play more of it today, probably.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it enough.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And then just from Vertex Pop that's
okay. Right.
And then Super Crush KO.
Super Crush KO.
Yeah, we're all good there. I didn't realize that one got a 77 on Metacritic. That's pretty good.
Worth it.
Yeah, I know. That was a fun game. I don't even remember how much it was when it first came out, but yeah, it was definitely worth the money at that time and stuff. So it's on sale right now, you think?
Yeah, for I think it's $8.99 right now.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
And then Ori and the Will of Wisp is $14.99.
Okay, it's 30. You said 50% off for that one. Gotcha.
I think there's only 7 more days until that sale's over.
Okay. You guys heard it. One more week to get these deals.
But what about you?
What have I been playing? I always kind of open things up here. So before I forget, because sometimes I forget that I played the Switch occasionally during the week, because it's not in my trophy list here that I can just easily access. I started a little bit of Bravely Default 2.
Oh, nice.
I think, I don't remember if I mentioned the previous week. I played some of Pokemon Sword. No, mm-hmm. sorry, yeah. Shield. Shield.
Yep, you mentioned that one.
Okay, I did. Yeah, so I'm almost done with that, but I'm still almost done. I haven't touched it since then.
So I'm almost done.
Yeah, I'm almost done. I'll be almost done for like probably another few months or something. But yeah, sorry, Bravely Default 2. That one's a pretty fun game so far.
Nice.
I like the characters. Like the. I'm trying to remember. I've kind of forgotten. No, I'm remembering them slowly. Hold on. It's all coming back slowly. I like the characters in Bravely Default 2 more than the first game.
Okay, I was going to ask, do you have to play the second one to play the first? Or
no, I don't think so. It's like, there's like vague kind of
connections.
Things, yeah, connections-wise. So like they still have things in the world called asterisks, which are these like gemstones that allow you to change jobs on the fly, basically. Maybe not on the fly, but you can change jobs in your like menu screen and whatnot to kind of balance out your party in different ways.
Right.
So yeah, there's still those kind of things there. There are still these, are they gemstones? I forget. No, I think they're crystals. There's these different elemental crystals, basically. And, you know, when you first like start the game, one of the main characters, Gloria, I believe is her name, Princess Gloria. She and her like knight companion are kind of like wandering around because their kingdom was destroyed type of thing. Mm-hmm. And one of her duties is to like find all of the, you know, elemental crystals and whatnot, because the crystals are super dangerous.
Right.
I think like early on you find out about a kingdom. I don't know if it's nearby, but you know, close enough type of thing. You go on a little adventure that is in the desert. And, you know, normally has like water issues and stuff in terms of like not enough water. But apparently recently has like, what is it? Been like like half of the city has been submerged in water type of thing. Something. And so you're like, hey, water crystal's probably over there. We got to go figure out what's going on and help out. So that's kind of, you know, how things are going in there. But since I'm still early in, like it's got the same kind of battle mechanics as it did in previous games. Tutorials in this game have confused me a little bit, because in my mind, right, when I'm like, you know, reading through tutorial kind of stuff, I press a button to continue to the next slide thing. If you press the, you know, the only button that it shows up on there, you close out of it, and I'm just like, dang it. So I have to remember all the time to like use the thumbstick to basically like tab over.
That's interesting.
And I'm just like, oh, such a weird type. I've done it a few times where I was like, okay, next thing, and I hit the button and it closes, and yep. I'm like, gosh darn it. So now I got to go and like find the one I missed and things there. But fun game though, fun game. And I like the characters. I don't even know if I looked into there being different language options, but I've just been playing it on English.
Right.
And the. I'm still early enough that names are escaping me. I'm bad with names in real life, so
it's understandable. Like,
yeah, I can see their faces and everything. So you're a character. Yeah, it's the hat dude. Is that really his name? I think that's his name. Okay. So your character's name is Seth, right? You can rename your character. I kept it the same. Usually I'd rename it, but I have to maybe play through some more to see if they ever actually call him by his name.
Okay.
Because if they don't, then I made a mistake, and I could probably just start over.
Interesting.
Because if they do call him like Seth and stuff, I want them to be able to like use those words.
Right.
Because I assume if I were to change the name, they would just, you know, never refer to my name ever type of thing, or just say things like, "Hey, you, what do you think?"
Right.
I hate that kind of stuff. But let's see. So yeah, Gloria, one of the main girls there. Adele, I believe, is the other, which, you know,
some interesting name.
Yeah, very, very interesting name. I think Adele, yeah, is one of your other companions you meet pretty early on, and she's accompanied with Elvis, I believe is his name.
Are these like music references?
I have no
Gloria,
idea.
Gloria, Adele, Elvis.
Yeah, Seth, music. I don't know, man. I did meet a couple bad guys so far, like, you know, people that have like asterisks and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, the one of the dudes, such an idiot, such a mean guy. His name is Dag, which I'm just like, your name is awful.
Terrible,
sir.
Man.
His voice is kind of awful to listen to.
Oh,
he's
God.
Very like, because, you know, like, I feel like a lot of games where, you know, you try to differentiate characters and whatnot, usually the way that games will do it, they'll differentiate it by giving them a different accent kind of thing. Right. So like even, you know, even in, I like this example because I think of it the most, like in One Piece, they'll differentiate characters by like the other language that they speak when they're using like special attacks and things. So like,
oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like you know, Zoro is very like just all Japanese kind of stuff. Robin will use like Spanish for her like attack things. Sanji will use like French in his names mm-hmm. or his words and whatnot. But yeah, it's like in these games where it's all English cast and everything, you'll have, you know, Elvis who sounds a little I think I want to say either Scottish or Irish.
Okay.
You have Dag who sounds like a like an Aussie. And I'm just like, these are so weird choices.
I never put Australian and bad people.
Yeah, like, yeah, me neither. But he's just kind of like a douche, you know? I listen funny. To him and I'm just like, man, you just kind of suck. I don't like your character. He's like this, he's supposed to be like a big, like strong dude, you know, he wears like huge plate armor right. and carries a sword or something and you know, gets real mad at Gloria's knight companion in the beginning and just starts like, you know, the knight companion was doing fine, but then they take a child hostage and then he just gets to like, you know, free reign, like wallop on this knight dude after he's thrown his weapons down. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, this guy sucks. He's going down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get to this guy. I'm going to teach him a lesson or two.
Right.
But yeah, it's been cool so far. Nice. I'm still like,
It's gonna be a long game,
dude. Oh my gosh, because even when I was enjoying Bravely Default, one, I was still like pretty early when I eventually was like, man, going to something else, because I'm just like, I didn't have the mental capacity to like continue on this long game road,
right?
And that's been tough for me lately, like going into long games, because I have a hard time doing a bunch of long games at once,
right?
So right now Mass Effect 1 is my long game of choice, so I'm trying to stick with that one. Even then, I've been playing a bunch of other small things, so it gets tougher. Mm-hmm. Apparently as I get older, I lose interest faster.
It's you get tired faster. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, man, I can't sit here for 7 hours and play this thing anymore like when I was a kid. But yeah, so since I mentioned I've been playing some Mass Effect 1 a little bit, I did try out I tried out one of the games I think that I mentioned last week, Quantum Replica.
Yep.
That cyberpunk kind of stealth isometric action game. It's pretty cool so far.
Nice.
I wasn't expecting, you know, I didn't know what to expect going into the game and stuff. I didn't know if it was going to be great stealth mechanics or, you know, kind of wonky and stuff. A few times where, you know, I've tried to, one of famous like stealth mechanics is throwing something to get a guard's attention so that they then go over there and you can sneak around them or like, you know, knock out their buddies or whatever.
Stab them in the neck.
Yeah. Those kind of things. In terms of like this one. So, you know, I the first time I ever used that mechanic and I threw something and it worked totally fine. Right.
Right.
Guard went that way. I went the other way, knocked out his buddy, then knocked out him. Bing, bang, boom. Right?
Easy.
I knocked out his buddy because they're looking at each other. You have to do this thing to get past them. So distracted one, he went to go search for whatever made the noise with the can or the bottle that I threw. Knocked out his buddy and then dragged the you know buddy's body. I think like just out of sight as the guard was going back to his normal area. And of course, you know, he doesn't notice that his guy is just gone.
Of course. Right?
That he's been staring at for probably like hours.
None of these guys are smart.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I go and do that and then go and knock the other guy out and it's totally fine. I think later on I ran into something that I was like, dang, I'm going to reload the checkpoint and whatnot. So I did that, brought me back to right before there. So I went through the thing again, but then he was acting weird. Like he didn't go in the same way that I would think he would go to get that like bottle recognition thing. And then it was like a few times trying to go through that area. I was just like, well, he's not taking the bait like I want him to. And when I go and knock his buddy out, now he hears it for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening here. Eventually I got past it.
Learning.
Yeah, the game's learning or something. But yeah, in terms of, you know, I've been playing the game so far, pretty fun. I started to find new powers now. So along with, you know, just your regular robots, like hand strength that you can knock people out with and stuff. I found a sweet dash mechanic.
Mm.
So I've been kind of making my way slowly with that one, but I've kind of put that on pause because I tried out some other things. Been playing a lot of Cozy Grove each day, like,
consistent,
30-ish minutes or so. Yeah, I think now, because each day that you log on that is, you know, a separate day, it'll tell you, like, hey, like, this is, like, day 30-something of you, like, logging in. And so I'm on, like, I don't know, 35 or 36 right now. So working my way up to that 90 different days played trophy.
Nice.
Which is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Such a slow burn. But, I mean, you know, same kind of things as before. I don't know if the game has updated. Or I should say, I don't know when the last time the game updated was, because load times are still like minute and a half each time. So now at this point, I like go and make like food or something while the game is loading, and then come back and start playing. But it's, you know, it's still been fun to kind of just walk around, dig a bunch of holes, and grab items and things and sell stuff and get spirit logs. Yeah, just grab everything and then be like, okay, I'm good. Now that I got everything that I could right now, game's off and it's fine. Along with that one, I platinumed the Skylia Prophecy, which was that, I think, a game that we talked about a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. where, you know, weird wall of text on a bad background kind of thing. Finally went and platinumed that one. And the game's actually pretty decent. Like, the combat and stuff in there, I think, is, it, you know, it's like old Castlevania type of games kind of thing.
Right.
So it was decently fun to like go through and get the platinum stuff there. But it's, you know, one of those games you can platinum without beating the entire game. So I think I looked at my trophy list and I was like, dang, I haven't platinumed a game in like a month. I should probably do something. And so I knocked that one off. Yeah, I'm just like, I just gotta do this now. So I did that, and I played Aerial Knights Never Yield.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got it because it's, you can get it on PS5, PS4, cross-buy kind of thing. So I started playing the PS5 version. I think still there's no one who has the platinum, as far as I'm aware. There's one trophy in there that you need to get all the outfits, and so far no one knows how to get one of the outfits for sure. Just like, oh geez, this is gonna take forever.
It'd be a challenge.
Oh geez, yeah, that's why. And so I'm at 90% completion for this thing, and I just need the one trophy that'll knock me into the platinum, because nobody has it yet.
I
don't know. I don't know what to do there.
How's the game though?
It's actually really fun.
Good. Nice.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Let's see. So yeah, so going through the levels, like, you can go through these things pretty easily and stuff. And then there's multiple difficulties, so you can, you know. I think you have to play through one full level before you unlock like the hard and like ultra hard difficulties or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can play through the whole game on just like normal and everything, and you still unlock majority of the trophies there. There's like a few, I think, random ones, which I'm curious like what the reason for these random ones was. Yeah, a couple of them where, you know, you have to, they say fully enjoy level 4 cutscene, and there's one for level 5 cutscene. And I'm just like, but what is the purpose? It's like, how did you come up with this over here, Aerial Knight? But yeah, just kind of going through and like going through the story and everything. It was pretty cool. Nice. There's some, you know, because there's no dialogue in here, you're just kind of piecing together story based off of what you're watching and whatnot. It's like your dude is running from, he escapes from like this seemingly, you know, science lab or something, where he's being cloned or grown in test tubes and stuff. And, you know, he breaks out and he's on the run. And this like company that he broke out from is like chasing after him. But a clone of him is chasing after him, and the clone looks pretty like evil and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, you're just running away from these dudes. They're trying to catch you and whatnot. And then I think at 2 points you play as the clone as well, and it's like you're now going through the area that you have gone through previously, but you're running as the clone now.
Interesting.
So, I mean, yeah, so besides just, you know, avoiding regular obstacles like you were doing, sometimes you'll you know, as your regular character, you'll run past like maybe like a you know, some kind of like flying drone or something, and then, you know, if you're not sprinting away from it, it'll catch up to you and stop you kind of thing.
Right.
But when you're running as the evil character or whatever, it's not actually, those things don't chase you and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, story wise it seems like it checks out and everything. And there was one level, I think, I want to say it was like level 12, because there's 13 levels total, and a couple boss levels basically in between. I think it was level 12 though, where you are playing as your character, and it does a cool thing where I think this was, you know, After a while, it's you know, a lot of the same kind of, just like, you know, running, jumping over things, big jumping over things, mm-hmm. or sliding under things kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I think level 12 hit, and it was a little bit longer than the other levels had been. But you're playing as your character, and you're, you know, you're running from left to right and whatnot. And then, like, sometimes throughout the level, it'll switch to the evil character who is running from right to left, like he's running towards you kind of thing.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool, like, mechanic that they're doing cool. here. Because it would happen, like, right at a button press for, like, some kind of, like, obstacle type of thing. So you'd go to, like, maybe, like, hit the button to jump over something, and then it would switch over to the evil guy, and now he's running that way, and you gotta, you know, be like, oh, shoot, now I'm watching for obstacles on the left side over here coming at me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, this is a pretty cool, like, lead up to kind of, like, the end of things over here. And then, you know, finish the game, 90% trophies now. And I'm just like, give me the last thing over here.
Oh.
I think there's also a mini game in there where on a few of the levels, I don't know if it's each one, but sometimes throughout the levels, you'll have a, like a coin on there. It looks just like a 8-bit kind of coin that, you know, you can jump up to grab on the level. And mm-hmm. if you hit it basically, then at the end of that level, when you finish it, you get access to this mini game, and the mini game is, you know, looks kind of like Tron-esque, where you're basically kind of running through this area. The mini game is breaking my brain, Michael, because it, you know, it starts you off
mini games.
Yeah, for real, dude. Mini games again. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. But you start off, you know, running from left to right, dodging under things, jumping over stuff, big jumping over stuff, and then at some point in there, like pretty early on, it flips upside down.
Oh.
And you're still running the same way.
Oh man.
But you have to now like think backwards kind of thing.
Ooh, where that was...
Yeah, it's like your character's now on the ceiling and you gotta slide under stuff still. But, you know, obviously reverse. The position of things have like changed and whatnot in your view.
Oh, my brain does not work well with that.
Yeah, for real. So like that happened, I think, originally, and I was like, that sucks. So I did the mini game again because I think you have to finish the mini game to get one of the outfits. But not the one that nobody knows where it is.
Right.
So I'm trying to go through and finish that thing, but it's taken some time because I'm just like, okay. I get a little bit further sometimes, and then I get to this one specific spot, and I always miss it. And I'm just like, gosh darn it, this thing. But yeah, it'll do that thing where, yeah, it's like, you know, flips upside down. I think at one point it may have, like, flipped, you know, like, I guess not vertically, horizontally kind of thing. So now you're running from right to left, and I'm just like, ah, stop it.
That's, oh God.
So it's tough, but I'll eventually get there, and you know, hopefully by the time I get there, someone will have figured it out and be like, hey guys, this is the solution, because I'm like, eh.
Here's the last outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool though.
Yeah, so pretty cool. And cool music, I think, is the best part there. It's just, it's fun to kind of listen to the music, very kind of like chill as you're going through everything. What else was I playing? So a couple more things. A few more things. So, Evan's Remains was a game that I got on the Switch. It's kind of like a puzzle. Yeah, more, it's a puzzle game, light platforming involved with the puzzle elements and whatnot. But story-wise is pretty interesting because I hadn't really gotten into it on the Switch yet. But I started on the PS4 and I was just like, oh, this is a pretty interesting story where your character is searching for her brother, and like partway through you meet this dude. You're supposed to be on this uninhabited island to look for your brother.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these kind of weird monoliths and ancient technology that's like super advanced and whatnot, hence like these teleporting pads and things. But then you meet this random dude on this island, and dude is like, oh, like, hey, like, you know, he's doing his own thing. Like, he's writing notes in a notebook. He's trying to find something for himself. He eventually tells you, like, hey, like, I'm trying to find, like, apparently, like, the secret to immortality is here on this island. And I'm trying to, like, decipher this message that was left in these monoliths.
Mm-hmm.
And you get his, I think you get his name, and he asks for your name, and you give him a fake name for some reason. I don't really know why you give him a fake name. But you don't give him your real name, right? Yeah, it's like your character's name is, I think, Desis, or like Dysis. It's D-Y-S-I-S. And you tell him your name is Vanille, almost like vanilla kind of thing.
Interesting.
Which I was like, okay, like, why are you giving fake names here for? and he's like, okay, like, yeah, cool, whatever. I'm still trying to find this, like, secret and stuff. And then eventually in there, like, you know, because you do some puzzles, you get some story, you do some more puzzles, get some more story. But eventually I found out that, like, this dude is searching for, you know, the secret to immortality, not for himself, but he says for his sister. Because you know, get the sense that his sister is like sick or something, right? Or dying. And the, you know, the girl is like generally like, oh man, I'm sorry about that. Like, what's your sister's name? And he's like, oh, her name's Dysis. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on?
That's weird.
And I was like, ooh, something's happening here. Something's crazy.
How do you not recognize your own sister?
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, what's happening here? Because then she's like, what? That's weird. Like in her head kind of thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, like this has kind of brought me in. Like some of the puzzles are hard, but I'm like, I want to know what's going on here. The nice thing is if you just want to know the story stuff, I think you can skip through puzzles.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, cool. Nice. Like if I get stuck, I think you get a trophy for skipping through a puzzle that's like, don't try too hard. I'm just like, all right, sounds good to me, man.
Free trophy.
That's cool. So that's been a kind of cool thing to go through. I'm interested in seeing more of the story there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game that came out called Rise of the Slime, which is a roguelike.
Nice.
Or let's see. Roguelite? No, roguelike. Yeah, roguelike, because you don't get to keep all the progress. Roguelike game that has like card deck building elements inside there as well, because it's like a deck. Yeah, it's kind of like Slay the Spire, yeah, but there's like also like a slight movement element in there. But it's pretty cool, where it's like you're playing as this slime who is kind of making his way through to basically try and, like, you know, get rich and make his own kingdom and kind of thing. And along the way, you're fighting all these crazy, like, bad guys, and it's been pretty cool so far. Nice. I didn't know, like, you know, seeing the, I think the trailer looked pretty interesting,
mm-hmm.
and actually playing it, I was like, oh, okay, I like this a little bit more than I did for Slay the Spire. Because also, it's got this cute kind of aesthetic where, your character, it's almost like a puppet show kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like it looks like you're looking at a scene of a puppet show, and your character and all the other bad guys and stuff are on these like sticks. And so as you like move across the screen, the stick kind of like waddles back and forth to make it look like your character is moving across this playset.
Oh my god.
I was just like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then it's like each time I've played through, because I think I've played maybe 3 or 4 rounds so far and gotten a little bit further each time, you kind of unlock more card options and different like deck builds kind of thing. So the one I've been running with lately has been like this, you can have a couple, or you can have pets basically that kind of accompany you. And I've been bringing along this dude that looks like a little like acid bubble. And so at the end of each of my turns, like during a round of combat or something, he'll spit out like acid bubbles to like, you know, then do damage when an enemy starts their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been helpful because, man, some of the
<hard.
laughs> yeah, some of the times, like, getting towards the end rooms on this like regular run, I think it's like something like 20 something rooms per run, and I've gotten like a little more than halfway through, but as you start to get towards the end there, like the enemies start to get real tough, and I'm just like, ooh, I need to get better like strategies and stuff going, because they're like wrecking me a little bit.
No, thank you.
Yeah. But it's been cool so far, though. Trophies are a little bit difficult to get in that game. It does have a platinum, which is nice, but a little bit difficult to get.
Always
there.
A nice thing.
Always a nice thing, of course. And then the last one, Knockout City, came out on Friday, and I've been playing a little bit of that. I think I played a match or two. Yeah, a match or two, because right now there's like a 10-day period. I think they're calling it like the block party event. And basically the first 10 days that the game is out, it is free to try, and it's the whole game that you can play and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play the game for free for the first 10 days, and if you like it, you know, you can buy the game for real, and I think you get a little bit of like a bonus for being an early, you know, player adopter or whatever.
Right.
Game is only like $20, so I played a game, and when I was playing the beta originally, I was like, oh man, people in this beta are real good or something. Like, I'm not clicking with how this is working, so I was like, eh, I don't know if I'll pick it up later.
Right.
But I tried the actual game, and maybe it's just because there's more people playing now than like people who would be in the beta and whatnot. But I've been doing pretty well.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay, I think I like this. I think I played a couple games and I was like, all right, I'm going to buy this now.
It'll be funny to see, because that's kind of like how with fighting games. Because I've heard like some people who I watch who play fighting games, like, oh yeah, when you first start off, you're like, oh man, everybody's level and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly you start to see the skill level rise for people, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Maybe I'm not actually this guy.
Yeah. And it's like, it's an, because like, you know, it's one thing, like the skill I'd say, like, what is it? The skill ceiling for fighting games can get pretty high.
Oh God, real high.
And I'm just like, oh man, I'm never gonna reach those heights. You know what I'm saying? I'm never gonna be the next Ars Ashlan or something like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, you know, this goofy dodgeball related game, I'm playing this and I'm like, I can see that there are definitely players in here that are way better than me.
Yeah.
But I can still also get like 17 knockouts a game. And I'm like, this is pretty consistent. I'm doing okay here. Like, even with these good players in here, I'm still doing okay.
Right.
So it's really just like, I mean, basically like regular dodgeball, where you just have to really kind of like time and fake people out and stuff. And maybe like you dash forward and grab a ball, and then they were coming forward to grab it as well, but you got it first, and you just beam it at them right in their face, kind of thing.
Right in the face.
And that's just like, oh yeah, easy points. I got this. So like that's been a lot of fun, and just kind of going through, and I feel like people are, you know, I think still kind of formulating their own strategies as to how they play and whatnot. Right. 'Cause a lot of people that I've been watching, and maybe I'm going to spill the beans now for whoever is listening and is playing Knockout City also. a lot of people that I watch play this game, take the time to like charge up the full throw, because obviously the ball gets, you know, faster and stuff when you do that.
Like real life,
right? If you charge things up in real life,
exactly,
you know, it goes real fast. but when you, what's it called? When you don't charge it up and you just like lob it, kind of thing, you can catch people off guard because they're expecting like a fastball, and they maybe like try to catch it too early. And then if you're stuck in that catch animation and you get hit, you still like get hit and whatnot.
Right.
I think another nice thing is the catch animation is a little bit extended. It's not like immediate, like you have to hit it right before it happens. If you do hit it right before it happens, you get a bonus, like perfect catch, and then the ball is fast when you throw it back automatically. So if you get good with the timing of that stuff, you can wreck people pretty easily.
Right.
And, you know, people are throwing these like fastballs at you and stuff, so you have time to kind of like anticipate when it's going to be thrown. You're not like caught off guard and stuff. Because what I do to people is I will like, I'll get a ball, and like if I'm near somebody, I immediately just throw it. I don't even charge it. Because when you charge it, you also, if you're being targeted, you get a notification on your screen. Like the border of your screen goes red. And somewhere on there, there's a kind of like white, almost like half circle kind of thing. And if you notice where that's at, like say it's up at the upper, like, you know, right corner or something, right? It's telling you the direction that the person is that's about to throw at you. And if they're charging up, it gives you more time to like go and find them and look at them, so that if they do throw the ball, then you have time to like, oh, I'm gonna catch it now. And so then you grab it, kind of thing.
Right.
So if people are just like lobbing it like I'm doing, you don't get that notification type of thing, I think. And so then a ball just comes and hits you, and they're just like, what happened? And I'm like, it's me, sucker.
Part of me is slightly hoping, like, when we play later, that we're going to go, like, oh, yeah, I can do that, and we just get destroyed. Like, what happened?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Why did I talk a big game? And we're just getting wrecked.
They're like, dude, what happened to me? I don't know, man.
It's like Apex Legends, man. They did me dirty. They threw me into the next round of people, and they're all real good.
Yep.
But, yeah, so if you want to play, just telling you now, right? If you start the game, and this will maybe go in a little bit to trophy talk a little bit here. If you start the game, right, and you're like, hey, this is fun, I want to actually earn trophies or achievements or whatever people want to do in there, right? Make sure you buy the game as soon as you can, because as you're playing it in the free trial, you're not earning anything. And, I mean, you're earning levels and stuff, and you're unlocking, you know, skins and, like, items to customize your character with and whatnot. That you get to keep as long as you, I think, during the trial period, you buy the full game kind of thing. You get to keep all your progress.
Mm-hmm.
But the game doesn't have any way of, like, stats tracking, carrying over from the trial to the real game, essentially. So when I first, you know, played, I think maybe like 3 matches, and then jumped into, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this because I'm feeling it more. And then there's a trophy in there for getting the MVP of the game on your, like, you have to be on the winning team and be the MVP, basically.
Yeah.
Which is just the most knockouts and whatnot. So you have to do that 5 times, and it's right now, since the game is pretty early, a lot of the trophies are like ultra rare kind of thing. So I got to, I think, 4, because there's, you know, these little, like, what they call contracts that you can kind of track your progress on certain things. One of them, it's asking you to get, like, 10 MVPs in like regular game modes, basically. And I think I got to 4, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, now, since I'll, you know, hit 5 maybe in the next round kind of thing, or the next time I get the MVP thing, then I'll be able to tell if it carried over progress for that. Right. And I hit it, and it didn't carry over. And I was like, okay, now I just need to play some more games and get this. And I think eventually I got it at like maybe like 7 or 8 on that actual tracking thing. So I was like, okay, yeah, it just doesn't carry any progress over. So if you're going to play this game for real and stuff, I just say buy it now, especially because it's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But cool to try out. Cool to try out if you wanted to just see what this dodgeball is all about, Michael. And I think it's on Xbox Game Pass. So you could probably, you know, if you have Xbox and you want to play it somewhere and actually be unlocking progress and stuff to keep, then you could play it there and see if you like it. But
I wonder if it'll come cool to the Switch eventually.
It is on the Switch.
Oh, it is on the Switch?
Yeah, too? it's on everything. So I think what I've seen so far, because it's on everything and it's all cross-play. So what I've seen so far is when I'm playing on the PS5, it'll show a PlayStation logo on all of the characters or all the people, you know, out of this like 3v3 team kind of thing that are playing on PlayStation also. And then if they're not on PlayStation, it doesn't show like an Xbox or a Switch logo. It shows just like a KO logo, like just the general like, you know, Knockout City kind of thing. So I imagine that's just kind of, you know, consoles maybe way of being like, yeah, hey, like they're playing on something else, but we don't want to tell you what they're playing on.
Or we can't show it or something.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, I think when crossplay is usually talked about, they're usually not like, oh hey, like you're playing with a lot of like Switch owners. I think Fortnite's been okay about that, where they've been like, yeah, like, you know, you're gonna get like everybody in there, but they don't ever tell you who's playing on what kind of thing,
right?
And I think it's the kind of same kind of thing here, where it's like, you know that people are playing on other stuff, but you don't know what they're playing on. But
makes sense.
As long as you win, it's all that matters. Oh man. But yeah, that's what I've been playing, though. Nice. A lot of different things.
A lot of very...
Dipped my toes in a lot of different genres throughout this past week.
Oh, gosh.
But I'm going to play some more Knockout City later, Michael. We won't wreck it.
Maybe.
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 There's also some trophies for and this will be for me, right?
Because I know you're talking to me like, it's not enticing to me at all.
I'm talking to everybody here who cares about trophies, and as far as the listeners are concerned. There's some trophies in there for just playing games with friends. Yeah, with friends invited on your party kind of thing. So I'm like, yes, we're going to do this. We're gonna get these trophies, Michael. We're going to win this game.
I still look through all my game logs that I have, because certain games I forget I have, and I'll just like re-download all my library of games on my PlayStation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of games that you've gone on and downloaded for yourself so you can get a trophy. Like, yeah. I don't remember ever downloading this one or this one or this one.
But aren't you glad that I downloaded?
I'm trying to think of a game.
Aren't you glad that I grabbed was Injustice 1 for you, Michael, a long time ago? Like, now you're into fighting games. Now maybe you'll be into Injustice, you know? Into
trophy fighting games.
Oh no, yeah. What I'm saying is that like now you'll be able to play Injustice if you ever want it, you know? Like, you're welcome. You know?
Sure.
I mean, in terms of what was one of the other ones?
Kung Fu Panda.
Did I download that?
Secret Ponchos.
Secret Ponchos. That's what I was thinking of.
There was another one,
that
too.
That spaghetti Western game.
Oh, what is that? Some, like, mech game. VX versus X. I think it was like...
Oh, I can't remember what it was called. I might know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't think of it right now, but... Yeah, that could probably be a thing. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've done that.
It was a long time.
It was like years ago. But see, now you got those forever, Michael.
Fun.
Just saving you money in case you ever get the urge to play Secret Ponchos over here.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay, so now we're going to head over to our news of the week. 1.5 stories over here. I'm going to start with the half story so we can get through that real quick. Overwatch 2 going to be moving to 5v5. From its normal 6v6 in Overwatch 1. Cool. Probably could have been in updates there.
Probably.
But you like Overwatch.
Yeah, I do like Overwatch.
And recently, I've liked Overwatch a little more than I used to. Now, how excited are you for Overwatch 2, if at all, Michael?
Honestly...
It's not something that you thought about for a while.
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Because like, I like Overwatch, mm-hmm. but it's not a game that I'm like, oh, man... yeah, Overwatch. I'm like, oh, yeah. For Overwatch.
Oh, cool. Okay. There was a period of time where you were pretty into it, right?
Yeah, there was. Mm-hmm. I think I stand on Overwatch 2. Oh, if I have the funds or if it's on sale, mm-hmm. I'll check it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Overwatch 2 sounds more appealing to me just because it'll have a story mode in there.
True.
And I like the characters and everything. I don't necessarily always like the gameplay of Overwatch. So if I'm just now playing a cartoony character shooter kind of thing in a story mode, that sounds way more appealing. And then if the multiplayer is also fun, I can be like, okay, well, let's do that some also.
Understandable.
Some also. I don't know what I said there.
There's no release date for it, is there?
No. Yeah. I think right now it's planned for next year, I believe. But,
Could change.
Yeah, it could change. I think originally they were like, maybe 2021, but probably 2022. Probably not, yeah. And I think they're shooting for next year, it seems like. But we'll find out eventually for that. But I just thought that's a cool little thing. I didn't realize the meta for that whole change there was so huge because that is one of the things that about Overwatch that I've had a hard time grasping because they restrict the number of certain types of characters on each team, basically.
Oh yeah.
And that's not something that I really thought about until I was playing more of it recently, and I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, for some reason in my head, I was always like, oh, I could just pick whatever character. And I was probably just thinking of, what's it called? I was probably just thinking of, Apex or something.
Could be.
Where you can just choose a character as long as it hasn't been chosen on your team. But they were talking, what they call, meta-wise, looking above, at how the game is played and everything, that the team member that's being taken off and whatnot is one of the tank class characters. So now there's only gonna be one. I was listening to people talk about there's only gonna be one tank character as opposed to two before.
Interesting.
Which apparently changes the dynamics quite a bit because
I did see a tweet, a gif of people crying if you're a tank fan in Overwatch, and the person was crying. I'm like, oh, interesting. Yep.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, oh man, this is way more deep than I thought. But that's it's cool. Like almost deep to the level of competitive level kind of stuff where it's like, man, people that have been playing tank characters are now going to have to adjust. And then, teams in obviously Overwatch League and stuff will be adjusting because, only five characters as opposed to six characters. Yeah. I was like, ooh, sounds rough, dude.
Interesting.
But, yeah. So I mean, those kinds of things, I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah.
It's way nerdy and I appreciate that. And I'm just, it's a lot over my head. And I'm just like, okay,
you guys always appreciated Overwatch out of all the PvP shooters.
Yeah. I like occasionally watching the Call of Duty League kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Overwatch League is something that I would like to get into more just so that I can learn how to play the game
better. There you go.
When I watch when I watch Call of Duty kind of stuff, I get how to play the game. My brain doesn't work in terms of how I can play it like that kind of thing, in Overwatch, I'm like, maybe I could do that. It looks cartoony enough that I'm like, maybe I could be better at Overwatch, But then also people are way too good. And it's like, yeah, probably not.
Insane.
It's a lot of just character powers to learn.
Knowing when to do it, knowing where to be, knowing.
A lot of different things there. But we'll eventually play some Overwatch and we'll figure things out. We'll get way good, Michael.
Get that junk right. Sumatra. Yeah, I think that was my other go-to.
Okay, I was to say, who was my go-to? I think, who's the dude with the Zen pinballs and stuff?
We talked about it before. Yeah,
forget his name. Yeah, Samsara or something. That's not his name.
Totally not.
I don't think. But I like that dude quite a lot.
Nope. Looks like Zagreus, but that's Hades.
Yeah, that's different. All these different names that aren't it. I was playing as him a lot, and then only because they were like, hey, if you want to play a game right now, you can pick a healer. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Because they were like, oh, if you want to play a DPS or damage person, you gotta wait maybe 10 minutes. I'm like, who has time for that, guys? let me just play the game, right?
Precious.
Yeah, if I want to play as that character, let me just play the game, But then I was like, all right, let's just jump in as his healers. And I was like, I'm pretty good with Samsara over here.
Okay. healing is a whole different class that I could never.
And that's why,
to be always aware.
Yeah, and that's why, obviously I wasn't playing, well as him. But I was playing him more as, I'm just going to attack people over and over again. And it only worked doing the Healy thing because I could throw like a heal buff on somebody and like a, you know, debuff on the enemy team, like one player on the enemy team, and just forget about it, because as long as it's on them, like it's just doing its thing and I don't have to think about it. So I'm just like, yes, great. And then if my dudes, like my special comes up and my dudes are all up there and they're getting hurt and stuff, I'm just like, yong, 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 and mass heal everybody. And I'm just like, all right, there we go. I think I randomly unlocked a couple trophies for that character. And I'm just like, yes, this is what I'm talking about here.
This is what I want.
Heal a bunch of people for some reason. I'm just like, all right, cool. I got these trophies. But yeah, I think in terms of him, I think the only one that I played a lot in the past was Tracer. And maybe D.Va a little bit.
D.Va's cool.
Yeah, I like those characters. I like characters that can move fast.
Yep.
Because, man, I realize that playing as old like Zen Pinball the characters are real slow.
Yeah.
Like some of them are real slow. And I'm just like, man, I don't even have a sprint button to get across the map faster. I'm just like trying to like float across.
You're
and I'm
a
just
physical like, wall.
Yeah, for real. I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, let me get there faster.
Yep.
And like, you know, I think Tracer and like D.Va especially too, with like her weird like rocket boost kind of thing. I'm just like, this is what I need to just like zoom through places and stuff. But then I don't know how to use your powers. I get wrecked real easily.
Trial and error, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna get good someday.
That's what we like to think.
Oh man, of course. And then the only like real full story that we've got here, which is I guess maybe a little bit of an update, who knows, is that Starfield has now, I think, more officially been confirmed as being a Xbox console exclusive. Mm-hmm. And I think they said it's likely to come in late 2022.
Yep.
So getting date windows kind of things, and also like better confirmation about this kind of things here. Were you interested at all in Starfield, Michael?
I wouldn't say like I think probably middle of the road as I've been with most Bethesda games.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like I'll probably get it eventually once I get an Xbox, obviously. Once it comes out.
Oh, you're talking about the series consoles, the next gen.
Yeah.
Gotcha. If I get that. I was like, Michael, we have an Xbox.
Man down the line. But yeah, it they haven't shown anything on it at all, and people are like, "Oh, this is I'm so excited!" I'm like, "What are you excited for? We don't know anything about it yet."
So excited for space, Michael.
They go, "Oh yeah, it's coming out this year." I'm like, "They haven't shown anything, nothing."
Yeah,
one logo.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like I think yeah, they showed like the name in like a teaser or something, but like Bethesda is the only company now that I think can get away with that kind of like them not showing anything and people being super excited and being like, it's coming out this year. Yeah. Because
I think
there just was because of Fallout 4,
there was some interview in the past where like some Xbox thing where they had Pete Hines, Phil Spencer, some other dude, and then the main guy,
Todd Howard. Yeah.
And they were talking about something, and then Todd Howard they were talking about Starfield, how people are like excited for it and stuff, and he's like, and Todd Howard was like, it's always funny to me that people are so super excited for something they don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Or we haven't released anything. I'm like, that's true.
Yeah. Even the creator's telling you guys.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's something I thought about more recently, where because I think the idea of Starfield, I'm like, okay, cool, like Skyrim in space or Fallout 4 in space. Yeah. Right. I'm like, okay, I could dig that. Like, I just want to see what kind of crafting systems you got,
how it looks.
I want to see like how the game looks. I want to see what the quest lines kind of look like and stuff, and find out if it's what I'm wanting to play there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've also been thinking, like, man, lately first person perspective games haven't been super great.
Yeah,
like, and I don't know if it's just maybe that like it hasn't really evolved much over time. I think the one that was actually really good that I need to go back and finish and stuff lately was Ghost Runner.
Okay.
And that, I think, was good because it's a different type of, like, first-person type of thing, where it's all about speed and, you know, parkour and maneuverability and stuff. And that one works for that because it's, like, you know, first-person Hotline Miami kind of style, where, like, one hit, you're dead, one hit, they're dead type of thing. So that kind of thing, I think, worked for like a first person game just because, you know, it's so fast and fluid. But like, you know, even when I've gone back and played games that I love, like Skyrim and stuff, I'm just like, oh, this is rough. Yeah. I'm just like, man, the Outer Worlds, I haven't finished through all the way just because I played through the first world and I really want to play more. But also, like, you know, getting to that second world and then being like, hey, like, choose which companion you want to bring with you.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Mass Effect. I was just like, I just want to play Mass Effect, guys. Like,
it's funny. The only, I think we brought it up before, the only first person type of game that I can think of that I really enjoyed, that I thought it did it very well.
Yeah.
And I know Resident Evil 7 and 8 people like and stuff, but some people like, oh, I wish it would go back to the third person. But the one for me is Dying Light.
Yeah.
And like, it has its flaws, obviously, but that was, it's literally the only one I can think of that I'm like, first person gameplay, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, for me, I would agree there. And then, like I said, Ghost Runner. And then, yeah, like, other ones are all just kind of like,
they're okay.
They're fine, right? Yeah. Nothing. But, yeah, like, and that's the thing, too, is like, the idea of like, you know, a game like Skyrim being, as far as like, you know, gameplay wise, being just like fine, right? In first person kind of sucks, because then going, like, my opinion, going into third person to play that game is awful. Like, I don't know how people play that. Like, that's insane to me. I think I've heard some people play like even like Fallout 4 in third person. Oof. And I was like, how do you do that? Like, I get you have vats and stuff and maybe that works, but for like a game like Skyrim and stuff, I'm just like, oh, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
And first person, you know, is decent, but it's still just like, it's kind of slow and stuff. And maybe that's just the reason why things like this don't feel like they're as like fun anymore, just because things are slow.
Could be.
And, you know, maybe because we've been given so many third person games where you have dash and parry mechanics and stuff, that now playing a first person game like that, it's like, oh, I'm just so like lumbering. Restricted. Yeah, I'm like lumbering around here. I go to run and I have to like stop because I have to, you know, turn slightly. And I'm just like, oh, it's weird. Weird stuff.
And it might also be a thing. Because while you enjoy the Bethesda games like Skyrim and stuff. I enjoy the Bethesda games like Skyrim and Fallout and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But even thinking back on it, like, the thing I enjoyed the most about them is the world and, I guess, and the characters and stuff. It was never the gameplay, like playing Fallout and stuff, I never enjoyed. The VATS was always a weird thing to me because it would freeze and it was laggy and the gunplay wasn't great. Skyrim, the best part was probably the arrow shooting, but the game, the fighting and stuff, and the enemies, I'm like, oh, this isn't great, but I still like this
kind of
thing.
Yeah, like in terms of, yeah, like you said too, like, because I think that's kind of where I think about Skyrim and stuff, is I loved, you know, bow and arrow, and when they eventually added crossbow stuff in.
Yeah.
Woo, crossbows, Michael. But, like, in terms of, like, regular sword and axe and maces and daggers and things, I'm just like, it doesn't feel great, you know?
No.
Like, they haven't mastered that feel yet.
Not at all.
I really hope that, like, when we eventually get whatever, you know, next first-person game comes in that's, like, medieval kind of stuff, that the dual sense kind of adds into there. Because, like, DualSense was pretty cool for what's called Demon Souls, and if they can add that kind of thing in for first person, you know, game kind of thing there. What is, I'm trying to think, there was a game that they showed maybe like a year or two ago where it looked like medieval kind of
Kingdom Come or Kingdom Deliverance.
No, so that one, yeah, I remember that one. I haven't played that one. It seemed like it looked interesting, but it was some kind of like, it's just a trailer right now, and I forget the name of the game, but it's like, you know, medieval kind of looking. There's also like magic inside there and stuff, but it's not like, it's like a brand new like IP kind of thing. I'll have to look it up and try to find this eventually. But things like that are kind of like brand new and like, you know, in that high fantasy magic kind of setting and whatnot, hopefully we'll kind of adapt these new like ways to make it feel better for combat, just because, you know, as things are right now, it's like, it's rough.
Great. No. Stick to the Witcher 3 formula.
Mm-hmm.
Third person.
Yeah. Know, yeah. And that's why, like, just, yeah, Witcher works for that. I mean, so many other, these third person games work for
perfect. Right.
Yeah. For like this kind of medieval combat type of things. Even, you know, even if you were to take in, I was gonna say Batman series, but the, what's called Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, those 100%. Ones. Well, okay, I'll say Shadow of Mordor, because I think when I played a little bit of Shadow of War, it wasn't feeling as good for some reason.
It actually felt the same.
Did it? Okay.
To me, at least. I know they added new features, but it was almost
the same
there. What's the word? Not tad for tad. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, like beat for beat.
Beat for beat for, like, gotcha. Just like they just pulled it right over.
Okay. Yeah, like the, I don't know, for some reason in my memory, I remember there being a little bit more impact on certain like hits and stuff when you're fighting orcs and things. But then, yeah, when I started, maybe it's because it was so long in between since I played it. But yeah, going and playing Shadow of War a little bit on PS4, you know, maybe a year or two ago, I played a little bit and I was like, this doesn't feel good for some reason. It's because there's no like hard impact when you get those hits and things. But I mean, when you do things like, you know, like The Witcher and stuff where they have that impact when you're getting hit or you're blocking kind of things, like that's what we like need for these combat situations to feel good. And then, you know, I feel like it's kind of hard to get that in like that first person perspective, especially.
Agree. Maybe just stick first person to shooters and.
Yeah. That's the other thing is, yeah, just like shooters feel good that way. But yeah, I want to figure out another. I mean, Ghost Runner has been the closest thing to being what I think I'd be looking for in terms of like feel and everything in actual like sword combat kind of thing. But it's also just because your sword is basically like a lightsaber where you just cut through like everything with like one slice. And that's kind of, you know, if you want more drawn out combat, not going to work. Right?
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's what I had for those things there. I haven't done the spotlight, indie spotlight for a while, and I was going to throw out one thing that I watched a trailer for earlier today. And this game is called Phantom Abyss. It's a game that's coming from, or published by Devolver. And I'm just going to read you the description here and let you kind of go watch the trailer on its own. So they kind of classify it as like an action-adventure roguelike kind of game. But their description reads like this. It says, Phantom Abyss is a massive asynchronous multiplayer game that casts players into procedurally generated temples and tasks them with retrieving the sacred relics hidden within deadly chambers. Intrepid adventurers will dodge scores of hidden traps, leap treacherous chasms, and flee relentless guardians through branching paths until one of the relics are claimed or the devices of death overwhelm them. Be warned, you only get one attempt at each temple, and failure or settling for a lesser relic means you will never see that temple again. The cleverest players will use the phantom runs of failed attempts from other players to their advantage and avoid the missteps and mistakes that led to their doom. Once the legendary relic at the bottom of each temple is found, the temple goes away forever and becomes the priceless trophy of the skilled adventurer. When they talk a little bit more about the asynchronous multiplayer part, that plays in with the entire idea of, like, you know, you only get to go in this specific, you know, generated temple once. And when you die there, you become this ghost that kind of shows other people, like, oh, like, this person died over here. Don't go that way kind of thing. And then eventually, if someone goes and claims the... Because I think from what I understood, just kind of reading things, as you play these, you know, these temples and whatnot, if you die in there, you get a code for that, and you can send that code to, like, you know, friends who are playing the game and whatnot. And as long as they put that code in, they can then attempt that same layout, and they might see your ghost in there as well. But that is their one try as well. So if they die, then it's like, okay, they have a code now and they can send it to somebody else. And it just kind of goes on like this until someone reaches, like they said, that, you know, legendary relic at the very bottom of this temple and whatnot. And when they grab that, the entire thing is just gone because now it's like, you're the only person who got that thing, which, you know, makes sense in terms of it being like a treasure that, you know, is legendary and, you know, unique and whatnot.
Right.
But I like the idea of this. That sounds
pretty cool.
It sounds really cool. And just watching it, it's a first-person game, which I was a little like, how's that going to work? but reminded me of Ghost Runner in sense of like, you know, you're kind of zipping around, trying to slide underneath traps and stuff. You have a whip, which you use to kind of get around, almost like a, like, if you think of like a Zelda hookshot type of thing, except not in the like restricted sense where you have to like see a specific marker kind of thing, right?
Right.
But I saw some dude, you know, jumping off of a platform that was collapsing or something and then using the whip to, like, you know, whip the wall so that you kind of pull yourself to that and whatnot to get a little boost over like a chasm. And I was like, this is pretty cool. Yeah, they talk about it being almost like a mixture of Indiana Jones.
I was just throwing that out there. That's cool.
Oh, no, yeah. I think that's kind of how they described it. It's like almost like Indiana Jones and Fall Guys.
Oh.
But like Fall Guys, obviously, you know, you just repeat this over and over again. The maps, you know, are random, but it's always the same maps, right? Eventually, you've played all of them and you kind of know what to do.
Right.
For this one, since it's always changing and everything, you only get one shot at this. You don't get to be better at a specific layout. It's kind of like, you know, you've seen this layout only for the like first time, and then you're relying on other people having died to then make it further than they did and hopefully get the treasure and everything.
That is a cool concept. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was only announced like yesterday or something. Oh, wow. So it's super, super fresh. I think it is going to be coming to Steam Early Access next month sometime. And hopefully consoles eventually, because I ain't got a PC powerful enough to play this
early
kind of stuff,
Michael. Early access is the way to go, man.
Yeah, helps
you develop your game better.
Mm-hmm. So, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. Just because it's kind of a goofy little thing on here, you can unlock new whips in this game as you're kind of playing through. And the new whips have, let's see. Yeah, so you'll collect like new whips and stuff, right? And each whip, it says, will carry a minor blessing and also a curse, which, you know, can help and complicate your, you know, journey through these temples and stuff. So I'm like, okay.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I like these little, like, weird things inside there. It sounds cool.
The beginning of E3 and Summer Games Fest time.
Oh, man. We're so close, Michael. June 10th is when Summer Games Fest is officially kicking off. So that's, like, what, 2 weeks? Yep. A little under 2 weeks from now. Oh, very excited. So excited, crazy. Michael. But that kind of stuff is so far away, Michael.
I know.
We're going to have to wait for that. And while we're waiting, we can do some fun quizzes on a side quest over here. A
little side quest here. Now, I normally tell you what the quiz topic is, but I totally forgot this
one. Yeah, it's okay. I forgot till just now, too.
So it's video game quotes.
Okay.
Or lines. So this one's going to be a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Hopefully you still don't get 5 for 5, but we'll see.
Sorry. You start off with, it's going to be harder, and then you assume I'm going to have a chance of getting 5 for 5.
Some of them are on the easier side. Some of them you might get.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay.
All right, let's do this.
Number one. In the original Bioshock, there is a phrase that is said throughout the game that is secretly controlling your character.
Uh-huh.
What is that phrase? A, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. B, would you kindly? C, would you be so kind? Or D, Bond. James Bond.
I was like, I don't know what you just said there. Then I got it. Would you kindly?
Would you kindly is correct.
Yeah.
That's the one I thought you would get.
Yeah. That's the one out of five.
And then number two, you probably will get two.
Okay.
Number two, in Skyrim, if you talk to any of the guards in the game, you will get this piece of dialogue.
Ah.
They will say, let me guess, ... What's the second part of this line? You want to join the guard. B, someone stole your sweet roll. C, someone stole your honey bun. Or D, you took an arrow to the knee. My man.
That'd be great if that was the line. Someone stole your sweet roll.
It is correct.
Yeah.
See?
Okay. That one, because that's a sweet roll thing. Is something going back for like ages at this point.
Now here comes the hard one.
All right. Here we go.
Number three, in an Echo recording of Eddie P. Taggart, T-A-G-G-E-R-T, a famous celebrity huntsman, famous celebrity huntsman's exploits can be found in Borderlands 2. What does the first echo say?
Oh, jeez.
A, chapter 1. I saw a skag today. It barfed on me. I no longer have an arm. End of chapter 1. B, chapter 1. Today I punched a stalker so hard it turned inside out. End of chapter 1. C, chapter 1. I have arrived on Pandora and met a friendly inhabitant, and he said to me, I will rip off your arms and use them as my feet. I will get along with him. End of chapter 1. D, chapter 1. Hello, my name is Inigo. I can never say his name. Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Oh my gosh.
Prepare to die.
Jeez. I want to say it was the skag one.
The skag one? Number A?
Yeah.
A, I saw a skag today. It barfed on me. I no longer have an arm.
Yeah.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
It is wrong.
Dang.
It is B. That? Chapter 1 today, punch a stalker so hard it turned inside out.
Wow, it was that. Yep. Okay.
I made all the rest of the ones.
Dang,
all except
right.
Except D. That was
Prince. Yeah, that's an actual thing, but not...
Man, no 5 for 5. Oh, God.
Man.
Long live Sonic.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 4. In the game of Sonic Adventure 2.
All right.
Sonic references a favorite movie with this iconic line. What is the movie and line? A. Ha! Looks like the Force is with you, Eggman. Movie is Star Wars.
That's awful.
B.
If that's the case.
Good one, Tails. There's no place like home. Wizard of Oz. C. You know, what can I say? I die hard. Die hard. D. No worries. Tis just a flesh wound. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
All right. It's Monty Python. Oh, man. Okay.
If you need me to repeat them, let me know.
I just feel like the No Place Like Home fits more for a Sonic thing mm-hmm. than like the whole Force whatever be with
Star
you.
Star Wars one?
Like, yeah. Yeah, so let's go with that one. Let's go with the Wizard of Oz thing.
Wizard of Oz one B?
Yeah.
You'd be incorrect.
Was it Force
is one? C. You know, what can I say? I die hard.
Are you for real? That was the one?
It is the line.
Wow. All right.
He tells that to Shadow.
All right. Jeez. Wait, so Sonic says that to Shadow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number five. In Undertale, mm-hmm. Papyrus says, I'm not Papyrus. I'm a very cool online guy. What is Papyrus's online username? A. Cool Skeleton 95. B. Skeleton is cool 94. C. Cool Guy Skeleton 97. Or D. Cool Story Bros.
I think the Cool Guy Skeleton 97? That one?
Cool C? Guy 97 is your final answer?
Yeah.
Be wrong.
Dang.
It is A. Cool Guy Cool Skeleton 95.
Ah, right. Dang, man.
And you got two. The
yeah,
two that
yeah.
I thought you'd get.
Yeah, the two. Yeah, the two that I definitely would have got from playing those games. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Those are fun making those.
You're the worst, Michael. How are you going to throw in games I've never even played before to expect me to get the lines from these things?
Because they're fun.
That's awful. This game is rigged from the start.
I don't care about
that. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, everybody, that has been the Bros and Consoles podcast once again. Thank you all for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. We will see you all again next weekend with another recording as usual. Episode 77 coming up next week.
There we go.
That's a palindrome, milestone. I assume. Milestone? Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, once we hit 777, that'll be a milestone.
We're never going to hit 777.
Man, how long would that take? It's like 52 per year. Yeah, that'd be a long time.
That'd be way too long.
long time. We have to start doing
in our 40s, man. Probably.
We'd have to start doing like an episode like two or three times a week to get there.
Oh, my God.
In a decent amount of time.
Don't have the time for that.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, this has been fun, Michael.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming by for this recording over here.
You're welcome. That was such a weird thing.
Well, it's true. You know, I mean, we got to actually get together. We got to make time for these things. So
it's true.
You know, it's been fun, right? Hope everyone else had fun also. And hope you guys all have some fun times playing some cool video games for this coming week. And we will talk to y'all again next time.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.